Who am I? I'm just a small part of this world, and so are you. Against the grand backdrop of a billion stars, in the mundane routine, hope whispers that we are citizens of another place. It would be easy to set up posts in rush of the city traffic, the pounding of the clock, looking for safety and possession or position. But hope propels us to search for the melody among the discord. Hope is an anthem for the humble, a song for a kingdom called grace. Hope says when you pass through the waters, Adam, he will be with you. And through the rivers, Lucy, they shall not overcome you. When you walk through the fire, Katie, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not overcome you, John. For he is your maker, Derek, the hope of all the nations. Hope knows the plans he has for you, Alicia. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, Nicole. Plans to give you hope and a future, Chad. He is the good shepherd, Jason. Therefore, my friends, in him, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Hope has stretched out his hands, not just to meet you, but to hold you. For hope knows your name, and you know his. Jesus. Hope is alive.
Paralyzing fear shuttered the doors and windows. Although they were gathered together with loved ones, the familial atmosphere was rife with pressure, tension, and agitation. Their businesses closed, travel suspended, and a night on the town, a distant memory, saddest of all, creeping into their souls, this thought, God has abandoned us. That was the scene 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem when the followers of Jesus were on lockdown. Jesus, their only hope, had died. He had burst onto the scene like a meteor of promise. He captured the attention of the entire country by turning water into wine, by healing a 12-year-old girl, raising her from the dead, and forgiving sight to a blind man that everyone had known from his birth. Jesus couldn't go anywhere without the crush of a crowd. People couldn't get enough of him. Where was he from? Who were his parents? What were his academic credentials? Nazareth, that's just a tiny village built on a rock pile. Nazareth would be like Elgin without the sausage. I hope you're laughing on the other side of that screen. And his parents, a construction worker and a day laborer? And what about his credentials? He hung out at a tiny house of God in the hill country. Who is this man? And his method of teaching, so unorthodox, so unusual. He transformed the heart of every listener by telling stories, not the dronings from a dusty scroll. He would talk about a farmer who leaves his flock to go after one lost sheep, and I was that lost sheep. He talks about a father whose son makes regrettable choices and comes home, and his father forgives him and welcomes him back to the family. I was the prodigal son. Or how about this one? The traveler who sees someone in need on the side of the road of different ethnicity and religious upbringing, and at great cost to him and even risk, he helps him. Who is your neighbor? I was the one broken, and I'm challenged to be a good neighbor to anyone in need. These stories and so many more. Jesus would seek out the social pariahs, those who were publicly humiliated and marginalized. He would invite himself to their house. It was like The worse your reputation, the more the Lord wanted to be around you. He made time for children. And the lady who was caught in sin, religion sought to erase her with rocks. Jesus chose to redeem her with love. Predictably, he would become the target for religious leaders. When he claimed to have authority to forgive sins, when he claimed to be greater than Moses, the temple, the Sabbath, or the prophets, when he claimed to be the resurrection and the life, and worse, when he claimed to be God. The triumphant entry on Sunday would end in tragedy on Friday. His fate was sealed, his sentence given, guilty, his beating severe, and he hangs on the cross for 6 hours from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Good Friday. He speaks 7 times, oh yeah, and the first thing out of his mouth, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." His followers who had left everything now are in the wind. They are hiding. "Strike the shepherd, scatter the sheep." All seems so hopeless until daybreak Sunday morning. Just as he promised, at the breaking of the day, hope is alive. Soldiers who were guarding his tomb collapse. The wings of one angel roll away the sealed stone, and coming out of the tomb, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you, Jesus. And where is the first place this risen Savior will go? What is the first thing on his itinerary? Well, if he were asking me, I could have given him a few places. We're going to go to Caiaphas' house, the high priest who framed Jesus and sentenced Jesus and brought this whole thing about. We're going to pay him a visit. Or how about the man who held the whip that tore his back in two? What about the Sanhedrin? What about the people who mocked him and plucked his beard? I would have paid them all a visit. But Jesus doesn't have time for vengeance. One thing is on his mind this Easter Sunday morning. "I'm going to seek those who believed in me once, and I'm going to say to them, believe again." John 20 and 19, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, oh, I love the suddenlies in Scripture. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Oh, I love that passage of Scripture. Oh, I love it. There are so many things that jump out at me. The first one would be probably that Jesus seeks them out. The disciples didn't come looking for him. Jesus goes looking for them. Young man told me recently when he found out I was a preacher, he said, basically all religions are about describing the same thing. You just have a little peak and that one has a peak and you put it all together. And I said, so that's, thank you for that. I told him all religion is about a man seeking God. Christianity is about a God seeking man. Ever since you took your first breath, Jesus has sought to know you. Today, we are in lockdown. Today, our calendars have been cleared. Today, the frenetic pacing that we were used to has come to a halt. What if, in the middle of this pandemic, Jesus Christ wants to reintroduce himself to you? If you've ever believed, you can believe again. Perhaps you had faith as a child. Perhaps you had faith in Jesus as an adult. But something wounded your faith. Someone that you highly esteemed as a Christian let you down. Or perhaps you suffered great, incalculable loss. And you lifted your eyes to heaven and said, how could you have allowed this to happen? What if? On this Easter, Jesus says to you, believe in me again. Hallelujah. When the disciples saw him resurrected, they believed. The foundation of our faith in Jesus is an event. Listen, anybody that can predict their death and resurrection and pull it off, you need to believe in them. Jesus, I believe in you. Not only did Jesus come looking for them, the first thing he says when he gets there is, my peace be with you. Jesus gives his peace. He says to them twice, peace be unto you. Do not be afraid. Fear is natural. Fear is an emotion. Fear is healthy. It's a gift from God. Fear is that fight or flight reflex that we have that keeps us out of danger. It's from God, but there is a spirit of fear that is not of God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us, what? The spirit of fear. Well, what did he give us? Power in the resurrection, love for those around us, and a disciplined mind to keep focused on who he says he is. The spirit of fear shackles you, and it makes peace circumstantial. If your circumstances are right, you are overwhelmed with anxiety. The spirit of fear is a rainstorm of what ifs. What if this happens? Or what if that happens? The spirit of fear whispers to you, what if this pandemic never lifts? What if you never get your job back? What if you can't survive this financially? All of that is the spirit of fear. And if you allow those thoughts to consume you, you will be overwhelmed and overcome. The presence of fear is unavoidable, but the prison of fear is optional. We are greatly afraid because our circumstances, we believe, are out of our control. Question to you, have you ever really been in control? I mean, this whole time. Have you been in control? I have a grandson. His name is Griff. I ever told you that? I have a grandson. His name is Griff. I love that boy. 2 years old, calls me Pop. I will take Griff on a golf cart with me, and we'll ride around the church property. Now, he's got some control issues at two. He's got some control issues. I can tell it already. And he wants to steer. And so if my hands are on the steering wheel, he'll knock them off. He'll say, no, Pop. And he'll put his little hands on the steering wheel, and he feels like he's in control. Every now and then I'll reach up and he'll, no, Pop. And so I just smile, and then he thinks he's doing okay. He'll look back to see where my hands are, and I'll just wave at him. What he doesn't know is Pop is steering with his knees. Pop is steering with his knees. I tell you, in type and form, this is us. We are relating to God. We think our government's in control. Our systems are in control. Our economy is in control. And when we see it unsettled, we think that everything is upside down. Oh, what are we going to do? Here's what we should know. God is steering the universe with his knees. Hallelujah. I love what Psalms 11 and 4 says. It says, the Lord is in his holy temple, and he still rules from heaven. The first thing the Lord says to you is, I'm in control. Believe in me. I can slow my breathing down when I believe there is a God in heaven who is in control. He says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. I'm praying his peace upon you right now. Peace be with you. Peace be with your family. Peace be with your finances. We have a family in our church that I just learned has tested positive for COVID-19, the Leverton family. Mark and Vicky, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus is a song that I remember my parents singing and even my grandparents. Can I sing a little bit? I'm going to sing it anyway. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If I can take my eyes off the circumstances and put them on the resurrected Savior, his peace is coming to you right now. Even if the circumstances don't change, he can give you peace to face the circumstances. The last thing I love about this passage of scripture, Jesus shows them his scars. So he goes seeking them and he gives them his peace. And now he says to them, I kept something for you. Here are my scars. Touch them. I love this about Jesus. He's so up close. There was a song poorly written many years ago. God is watching us from a distance. Couldn't be further from the truth. He's as close as the mention of his name. Just say Jesus. He walks into that room and he says, touch these scars. Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. And Thomas exclaims, and I love this in the Greek, ho kyrios moi, ho theos moi, or is translated, the Lord of me and the God of me. I believe now that I have touched and seen the scars. I have often wondered why Jesus kept the scars in his resurrected body. If you have power over death, hell, and the grave, wouldn't you want a different body? One that would help you forget what caused you pain. But Jesus deliberately keeps the scars in his hands, his feet, his side, his back, and his brow. He shows them his scars to say, I overcame what caused me pain, and you can too. A scar is a wound that has healed. I have some scars. I have one under my nose right here. When I was 2 years old, I was jostled out of the high chair and hit the table, and I have that scar. I have a scar from falling out of a tree. I have a scar on my hip where I had my hip replaced. I'm more hip now than I have ever been. Here's the thing about scars. I can see the scar, but it doesn't hurt anymore. Jesus says to you and me on this Easter Sunday, I have the power to heal what has wounded you. It's not like it never happened. It happened. You experienced it, but Jesus can help me overcome it. Now I use the scar to show everyone he helped me overcome, and he'll help you overcome. When this pandemic is just a story, what will be your story? Or for those sequestered, the early disciples, they left that room and they loved deeper and they forgave quicker and they looked into the eyes of their loved ones who they had just been passing in the hall. They realized the simplest things in life have the most meaning, and they reawakened to their faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, on this Easter Sunday, I pray that you would be awakened to the powerful Jesus in your life right now. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Oh, Lord, I feel your Holy Spirit touching people's hearts, easing their minds. Step in, Lord. Reawaken us. And for those that don't know the Lord, become their Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. I want everyone to put your hand on your heart like this, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you lived, that you died, that you rose again. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And cause me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, or perhaps not in a long time, I want you to take out your phones and I want you to text the word follow to the number 22999. Follow to 22999. I can't wait to hear from you. We're going to send you some information on how you can deeply follow the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's a new song on a brand new Phillips Craig and Dean album, and I think it's so appropriate for where we are right now in our world. It just says, you keep hope alive. Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher, with power to save, with power to save. Hey, you keep hope alive. You keep hope alive. From the beginning to end, your word never fails. You keep hope alive because you are alive. Jesus, you are alive.
Sing! Death had a stronghold when your life was stronger. Hope. as you're breathing, there's hope in the breaking, hope in the sorrow, hope in this moment, my hope for tomorrow.
There's hope
in the morning,
there's hope
in the evening,
there's hope
because you're living,
there's hope
because you're breathing,
there's hope
in the breaking.
Keep hope alive. Oh my goodness. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for joining us on this Easter Resurrection Sunday. I love you, and I pray that we'll be seeing each other soon. Do not miss next Sunday. Do not miss next Sunday. Oh my. Alan Harrison, President and CEO of the Methodist Healthcare System, will be my guest. He is over the COVID-19 outbreak for all hospitals. We're going to be able to ask him some things, and we're going to hear from him. We're going to do this great interview, and I'll be preaching a new message called Reset that'll help you as we're in very tight confined spaces. The Lord is with you. Can I bless you? I love to bless you. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Thank you for joining us today. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, we have a free book we would love to get to you. You can text FOLLOW to 22999. We'd love to come alongside you in this new season.
Yeah, it's been an awesome time here together today. And we wanted to make sure that you stay connected in. We've got great community groups on Facebook for all of our locations. Yes. That's a great place to connect in with other people in our church. Next Sunday, we've got some awesome things planned, right?
Yes, we have some great special worship guests joining us called the Katinas. If you have not had the experience with them, you don't want to miss it. That's going to be next Sunday. Don't miss it.
You know what? You can join in at the same place, life.family/live, and we would love to have you. You know what? We're praying for you, Life family. We're so glad that you joined us today, and we hope that you have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.